Yanis go long. Konate. It's a big, big win for Liverpool. No doubt about that. 1-0 win against Crystal Palace. Arne Slot is still fuming with Simon Hooper and the fourth officials. He's been agitated with them today. But Diogo Jota, his 100th start for Liverpool, grabs the only goal of the game. Great move. Tsimikas in down that left-hand side. Great pass to Cody Gakpo. Gakpo in the team, in the box on the left. Lovely low ball, and Jota, John Aldridge style, nets into the goal. Jota could have had a hat-trick. Trent could have scored two. Liverpool was so dominant. But the final 20 minutes of the game, legs seemed to go, and Palace certainly ploughed forward. Alisson Becker made three or four fantastic saves. One, as a missed a chance as well. But unfortunately, Alisson had to go off with a muscle injury. We wait and see on that. Vítězslav Jaros came on Liverpool debut and made one vital block to deny Eze at close range near the end. But a big win for Liverpool, staying top of the league into the international break. Palace 0, Liverpool 1.
That was Steve Hunter's full-time wrap-up from Selhurst Park after Liverpool's narrow victory ensures they head into the international break top of the Premier League. I'm Becky Davis, and coming up on this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot, Cody Gakpo and Vítězslav Jaros as well, plus former Reds Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer. They join me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our fan panel as well, who are also on the programme. Gareth Roberts, Ryan Payton and Kim Althoff, chair of the official LFC Supporters Club in the Netherlands. First, though, to Martin Kelly at Selhurst Park, who watched the game with our reporter, Mark Benstead.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, Martin and I have made our way down from the press box and just kind of been stood here talking. Actually, probably feels that was a pretty good win in the end and a pretty important victory, given the way that the game started to go towards the end.
Yeah, definitely. I think Liverpool controlled the game in most parts brilliantly today, starting with, you know, the back lads who didn't really let up on the passing range from Virgil today. I thought was fantastic. His long ball range was just a joy to watch. So that, along with how, you know, the front players played today, was they didn't give Palace any time to get any foot in the game. You know, they had the odd one or two chances that was off the back of Will Hughes or other players winning the ball high and creating that little chance towards the end, but I thought Liverpool played, you know, they scored early on, so that always helps to quieten the crowd here as loud as it gets here. So they'll be really pleased with, you know, the result here today. It's such a tough stadium, and I thought that the lads who came in and got their chance played, Tsimikas played unreal today for me. Curtis Jones. Love to see his, you know, pass completion today and the way he controlled the ball when he never looked phased when he got pressed. So it was really good to watch the team today.
You mentioned that early goal was really important, sort of taking some of the heat out of the fixture. You mentioned Kostas as well. His pass within that first goal, how difficult is that to defend against, especially when you're playing a three or a five at the back like that, splitting the two defenders?
Yeah, the pass was amazing, world-class pass. I think the second phase of it was, if Tariq Mitchell was a yard higher up, that's the levels you're playing at. It's, you know, it could have been offside. So it was an amazing ball. I think you still, when you're defending a free, you've got three defenders defending that ball across the box. I think Chalobah, looking back, would probably be frustrated that he couldn't get his arm across or have the alarm bells of danger in his mind to try and get rid of that. But it really settled the Liverpool team after they got that early goal, and I think they just dominated the game. The likes of control, the times here that in previous years they'd go, you know, to get one or two more, they just controlled the game and really never let Palace get a foothold. They were winning the ball back, you know, in positions that were never a threat. They've had two or three players to try and create an opportunity, the Palace lads, when they won it back, you know, just in Liverpool's half. So it was a game that I think, you know, Liverpool were always dominant in, and I don't think Palace could be too frustrated with not getting anything from the game today. They got a couple of chances. Alisson first half made an amazing save. So it was really controlled display from Liverpool off the back of travelling here from Europe.
It's been a theme through a lot of the games that Arne Slot's been in charge. Liverpool like to control the tempo of matches and do it very well, by and large. Is one of the downsides in a game like today where they slow down a little bit, aren't able to get that second goal, and you always know that the opposition have got an opportunity to sort of force their way back into things a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes I think Liverpool are probably waiting for that opportunity that teams get that tired, they drop off, and then the holes, you know, become more aware there for the players to run into. But credit to Palace, they defended really well today. It was just when they got the ball back, it's so hard to have the energy to create chances once you've been defending and it taking that much out of you from the way that Liverpool created their chances today. So credit to Liverpool doing that, and I thought Palace done what they could but couldn't, you know, create the chances that they wanted to.
A word on Palace and the way they sort of got a grip of things second half. A lot of that down to Will Hughes and that kind of energy bite he brought into the team?
Yeah, I think so. I think it showed from the, you know, the starting lineup from Palace today that they wanted to nullify Liverpool as much as possible. And sometimes when you're at home, there comes a point in the game where you have to change it. I thought Mateta was that out ball and started to hold the ball up and bring Eze into play along with Will. Will was the guy who came on and won the ball back, you know, really high up and created the chances for Palace that they had today. So he came on, made an impact, and I think as much as it wasn't Palace playing badly today, it was how good Liverpool controlled that game.
From Palace's point of view, still without that first win as the manager goes past us, will that be a concern, or will they still think that all the Glasner's impact here is right for them, it's the right direction overall that the team are going with, the style he's tried to implement and the results he had at the back end of last season?
Yeah, definitely. I think if Palace played any other team today, they'd have got, you know, a result playing the way they did. I thought they played really well. They were just suffocated at times, getting centre-halves dragged out of positions, the two wing-backs being asked so much, going one way defending to then get the ball back in your own half to create something the other way. It's really difficult for a team like Palace to create chances when you're under constant pressure like that. So I think the Glasner way will have its effect. They've got to be patient, and I think, you know, looking at the team today, they'll be fine. I think, you know, the games at home they'll get through and get enough points here to go on a run.
Just finally, from a Liverpool point of view, top of the table, only two goals conceded in the league so far. How impressive is that, given the games they've played and given the league they're playing in?
I think it's mega. I think it's really impressive to see, you know, the likes of Konate and Van Dijk, who are playing, you know, them big blocker games, not getting changed apart from, you know, the Carabao Cup games and stuff like that. So they're building up a real strong partnership. I think that's vital in a centre-half partnership. And if you probably asked the way that Liverpool are playing this season, they've got more control of the ball. It exerts less effort in a game of 90 minutes. So as much as it's challenging mentally for the two centre-halves, I think you can change the full-backs. You can see that a lot here at Liverpool. They're asked a lot of, you know, Tsimikas today ran his socks off. He made so much runs inside to create the width for the likes of Gakpo and stuff like that. So that you're going to probably see more change at the full-backs. And I think the centre-half partnership, if they can carry on with that, you know, consistency of playing together, that can only be beneficial for Arne and his team.
Christoph Meidner, great to have you with us here at Selhurst Park today. Yeah, good result for Liverpool once again. They are in a strong position. The only blip, I guess, with that injury to Alisson Becker. But as Martin pointed out when we were watching on, at least it's the international break now. So if you're going to get an injury, a good time to get it. Hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, big thanks to Mark and to Martin at Selhurst Park. As mentioned, Ray Houghton, Jason McAteer here with me in the studio. Welcome along to you and Ray. It felt like that final 20 minutes or so was a lot more tense than maybe it needed to be. Missed a few chances though, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, they did. They weren't great chances. Eze's was the one I thought when he went through.
Yeah.
He should have done
Hearts
a lot better.
I mean,
he had the whole goal team. You could have went either side of the keeper, and he hit it straight down the middle of the goal. You could tell by his reaction and the noise in the stadium, they knew that was a chance to get it back to 1-1. But don't forget, Liverpool had some really good chances as well. You know, Jota today could have had a hat-trick quite easily. You know, his all-round game was good. There was occasions when that final ball wasn't quite there. But I thought at times Liverpool played some great football. One and two touch, I thought they looked really fit, particularly in the first half. The Carlos going off, I thought, was a major turning point. sometimes you don't always see the qualities that he's got, but he made some really great runs in behind because he played higher up the pitch in that first half. When he went off, I thought Liverpool just lost a little bit of an edge in that midfield area. They weren't quite as good. Maybe the dynamic wasn't as good as it was in that first half.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They started OK, but just lost away a little bit. But overall, you know, it was a game that Liverpool, I thought, deserved to win over the course of the 90 minutes. Of course, if you look at the last 10, 15 minutes, always looks better for the team that's chasing. They're trying to get back into it. But I thought if you just looked at the game as a whole, Liverpool were the better side.
Regardless of league position, you know, every team poses a problem, and on their day, you know, even Palace today, like Ray said, had created opportunities and could have made it a lot worse or a lot harder for Liverpool. I agree with Ray. I think overall, I think Liverpool deserved the 3 points, but they made it harder than maybe what they should have done. When you get them opportunities, really good opportunities, the Jota header for me was the one that stands out. You make it 2-0, then hopefully then you go on to 3, 4, 5 and the game's over maybe with 20 minutes to go and we're not all breathing a sigh of relief and, you know, Ray come in sweating from commentary there and I understand why. You know, so they did make it more difficult than what it maybe should have been.
And it's unlike Jota, wasn't it? Because he's
so
really
ruthless.
Good in the air.
Yeah.
You know, for his size. Yeah. He's got a great leap on him. And this one, he didn't have to jump. It was just beautiful ball played in. He just headed it down. So he's trying to force it, I thought, with the header.
Sometimes,
and he tried to nestle in the far corner. Instead, he's just getting a little bit of purchase on it and keeping it down, skidding off the turf. You know, I thought it was a really easy opportunity for someone of his quality. And then the game would have been completely over. And that would just knocked all the confidence out of the Palace players. But at 1-0, Jason, tell you, you always feel you've got a chance. And the home support was behind them. Liverpool were making basic mistakes, giving the ball away, which was giving encouragement for Palace to get further down the field. And then that was why you could hear the home supporters.
Well,
they came fully back into it, didn't they?
Because I think, obviously, the early goal for Liverpool, they're always very up for it, aren't they, the Palace crowd, whatever time the kickoff is. And I think it kind of flattened the atmosphere, that early goal, and you're thinking, oh, go on and get a few, but then second half they fully came back into it a little bit.
There's a trend coming with Liverpool. If you look at AC Milan, West Ham, Bournemouth today, teams are scoring first and early on, and it's as if they're saying, you feel, listen, the slow start is Liverpool. You know, we can capitalise on this as long as we start quick, put the ball in behind, start asking questions. We might get an opportunity, and if we take it, we're obviously going front. And they've rode their luck a couple of times because they've been ruled offside, certainly the Bournemouth and today's goals. So it could have been a different story, but Liverpool scoring early, I think it settled them down, just quieting the crowd down a little bit. But then we didn't capitalise on the good possession we had and the great opportunities we created. Last 20 minutes, like Ray said, at 1-0, it's such a precarious scoreline because the crowd get up for it, they throw the kitchen sink at it because they're trying to find that equaliser. You drop a little bit deeper and you invite that pressure. Probably another black mark on the performance. Well, not a black mark, but a negative look at it is the injuries.
Arna's got to say about that, as far as, you know, I think he'll be happy enough with what he's seen in the first half, but not ruthless enough in front of goal.
Yeah.
But the second half, just losing control of the game. I know what he's like. I've heard what he's like as a manager, and I'm sure he'll be questioning the players. Why did you step off in the manner that you did? And we stopped down the flanks. We're getting a lot of joy. The two, if it was Trent and Mo, they were working in tandem really well. Tsimikas and Gakpo, they got forward to good effect down the line. Then we stopped doing it in the second half. And then if it was me, I'd be going, if we were getting so much joy, why have we stopped doing it? That'd be the question as a manager or even a player. Why aren't we doing this as often? Because we've gone from a team that's dominating to not. Why aren't we doing it as much?
What you mentioned there, I think, is a really good point. And I know he played further up the field, but the likes of McAllister, he does dictate the tempo, and his passing dictates how we kind of play. And you're right, you know, a lot of his balls went wide, you know, not a lot went through the middle. So you take him out of the equation and all of a sudden you're putting someone else who has different skill sets, then it changes the dynamics of the team. And I agree with Ray, I think he was a big miss second half.
Yeah, he was on a booking, I suppose, wasn't he, when he came off? But I'm sure that didn't play too much.
I've seen him when he was in the box afterwards, and he looked at his face as if I thought he had an injury. It wasn't someone who's just come off. I mean, he was disappointed that he's on the yellow card. It looked like he might have had a problem. We don't know, when I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah.
fairly soon what the problems were with both him and with the goalkeeper.
With Alisson, obviously.
Because they're two big players.
That is, I suppose that the good thing for Liverpool is the international break now, so a little bit of time to recover.
Not good international.
Not at all for Brazil and Argentina, but just in terms of that Ali injury, let's speak about that, because it was a strange one. He looked very unhappy.
Yeah,
on the
players,
back of his leg.
Their reaction to injuries usually tells a story, doesn't it? You know, sometimes they go down, you know, you can kind of gauge how bad it is. But with him, he was quite animated, wasn't he? And he kind of knew straight away. And
he's pounding
the frustration
with his fist,
with him, because he's just come back
as well.
You know, he doesn't want to miss, and he's a massive part. I mean, we were talking about it while we were watching the game. I mean, he's not called upon a lot of times during games, but when he is, he's fully concentrated and he makes some big saves and some big moments that keeps Liverpool either in the lead or keeps them, you know, certainly competing in the game.
The best keepers do that, though, don't they?
They do.
You know, they're redundant for the majority of the game. They're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You've got to keep your concentration, keep your focus.
Yeah.
But then there'll be a time when a big save comes up. And because you've not been doing much, all of a sudden you've got to be really on top of your game at that particular time. And they made one outstanding save. You've got a good right hand to it, which just typifies them as an individual. So I know we've got some good backup goalkeepers, but still, for me, he's the number one.
Well, yeah, Kevin Kelleher was obviously ill today. He was poorly, which was why Vítězslav Jaros gets his baptism of fire, if you like. He's only the fourth Liverpool player to make his competitive debut goalkeeper as a substitute. So a tough thing for him to come into. Obviously, it's a bit of a pressure cooker when the home crowd are obviously quite vociferous at that point in the game. But he did well, that Eze chance. Eze will feel he should have done better, I think. But
yeah, Ray touched on the Eze chance. I think Mateta should have laid him in a bit earlier, to be honest. I kind of think he waited and waited and chose the wrong moments. Sometimes it is you wait for the centre-half to commit and then you slide him in. But I just felt if he'd have given him it and he ran into the box with the ball under control, I think he might have done something a little bit different and maybe got a better outcome. But I thought it was a poor ball from Mateta. But yeah, I mean, he still should have done better. But the keeper, Jaros, yeah, he's come on. And you're right, you know, they went 3 or 4 up where, you know, he's had nothing to do. And even if he did, you know, he had to be on it.
It's pressure.
And it was pressure, yeah. And he dealt with it. But these keepers are, you know, they're as much as they don't play, you know, and they're not in that environment, they still train really hard. And they're around some great keepers and great coaches. So they're fully equipped to come into that situation.
But also what is the confidence the back four have got in the goalkeepers. Because if you're unsure of your goalkeeper, you'll go deeper and deeper. Because you don't want that big gap between you as a back four, the goalkeeper, because you don't know if he's going to come off his line or not. But they were pushed up, the Liverpool players, at times when they had to. So when the ball was played over, he was in the right starting position. Mentioned it during the commentary. He wasn't stuck on his line. He's 6-7 yards up, waiting for the play to develop, and then he's acting on it, not reacting. And that's what you want from your goalkeepers. So with him, we Quaven and we Alisson, the players all believe in what the keepers are doing. You know, there's no animosity there. So they're not thinking, I'm unsure about him. They know exactly what they can offer as goalkeepers, and I thought he came in and handled the situation. Because it's just, it wasn't like it was 3-0 up. I mean, it's not a bother, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It was still 1-0. You still had to protect that one goal advantage that you've got, and I thought he'd done it well enough.
Yeah, you'd hope Quaive makes a full recovery, and Ali, of course, very soon. But whilst Ali is possibly unavailable, we'll have to wait and see how long he's out for. But Quaive obviously has proved himself to be a Quaive,
so
he can, you know, he'll be back, you would think, by the next Premier League game. He's proved himself to be a more than able deputy many times.
Yeah, and he's got 2 games coming up now for his country.
For Ireland, yeah.
So, and it's an illness, it's not an injury, so you'd hope he recovers fairly quickly. But yeah, I mean, I'm a massive fan of his. You know, I'm still surprised, you know, maybe I'm talking out of school, I'm still surprised he's here, to be honest. The problem for him is he's got one of the world's best keepers in front of him, and it's such a difficult ask to get into the team and stay in the team when Alisson comes back from injury. He just slots back in. And as much as he's as good as he is and he's got tremendous qualities, you know, he's still a young lad and I want him to have a career. I love him at Liverpool.
He would be number one at many Premier League clubs, wouldn't he?
That's the thing. And he's got to decide where he wants his career to be, because
you've got to give them and Jaros the utmost respect, because it must be difficult knowing you've got someone so good in front of you. So you know your chances are very, very limited, but you train every day like you're going to be in that starting 11 for that next game. You have to be prepared for that, like today. You know, you never know when you're going to get called upon as a goalkeeper. Outfield players, yeah, you know, if someone's not doing so well, I've got a good chance of going on. But when you've got someone as good as Alisson, unless he's injured, chances are you might not be getting on. And he had to be prepared today, and he came on, and he went and played in the manner that he should do.
And keepers go forever.
Goalkeeper.
I mean, they play into the 40s now, don't they? You're actually not thinking, well, he's getting to 32, 33 now. He's on his way down. I'm going to get my opportunity. They actually go till 40. So Quvim, being, you know, the age gap is like, he's probably thinking, when am I ever going to get in?
Yeah, he turned 32 this week, Alison. Yeah, so still many years, you would think.
A lot of years in front of him.
Let's speak about the goal. Obviously, Diogo Jota gets it. It was a nice ball in from Costas onto to Cody, who slots it through to Diogo.
Movement. Munoz, the wing-back, got caught ball-watching, because if you looked, it was great movement from Gakpo, because what he did, he feinted to come short, and then as he went that way, that attracted the defender to him. And then Tsimikas played the ball in between them, and he just ran in behind them. Brilliant. The timing of it was great. Weight of the pass was excellent. But then you need the movement after that. And that you got that from Jota, who got across his marker. You can see Gahey let it go because he couldn't do anything about it. And I think it was Chalobah that was picking up Jota, and Jota just got in front of him, and it was a simple tap-in for him. But I just thought it was a really well-worked goal. Everything about it screamed a quality. First ball, movement from Gakpo, the pass across, and then the finish. And it was a perfect start. The only thing Liverpool didn't do then after that, for all the dominance that they had for up until 40 minutes, until Palace got a little bit more back into the game, up until then, they didn't get a second goal. And that was the only thing missing from the game. Because I think if they got a second, and you were saying about the home sport, and I know what Crystal Palace is like, the drummer was beating very fast at the start. And then it got slower and slower as the first half went on, because they knew that they were getting beaten by a better team who were just playing at the top of the form at that stage. And McAllister was making great runs in behind. Not only was he in charge of midfield, and I thought Gravenberg done well as well with his pace in that first half, and I thought Curtis as well. I thought the three of them, you know, as a trio, done really well. I thought it all worked in tandem very well. But McAllister was the one making great runs in behind, and he was getting served with some lovely balls over the top, but he just didn't get that second goal.
Which kills it off,
doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, Liverpool supporters must have been just there thinking, wow, because, I mean, I was asking Peter, if that's as good as Liverpool, I've not seen every game, but watching that first half, I'm thinking, that's probably as good as I've seen them play this season. Everyone was on the top of their game. Playing at in the manner that we should. Maybe Mo was just probably on the periphery today, which was unlike him. You know, I think he's got so much more to offer, and just his final touch wasn't quite there. It was coming on off his boot and going away from him rather than in front of him. So I don't know, and he just didn't look happy when he came off either. But, you know, the manager had to make the right changes at the right time, because he knew that Palace was having much more of an influence at that stage.
Yeah, word on Jota, 100th appearance for Liverpool today in all competitions, 60th goal in that time, which
dreadful.
Is quite...
Shocking.
Shocking stats, those, aren't they? But, I mean, we spoke earlier, he could have had a hat-trick potentially today, but
we laugh at the stats, but to be honest, it should be more. You know, the opportunities that he can be wasteful in, you know, surprises you to some extent, because he is such a good finisher, isn't he? He's probably more trusted in front of goal than what Nunez is. He's probably a more accomplished finisher. His movement is probably a little bit cleverer than Nunez's, and he gets himself into some really good areas. But like the header today, sometimes you can just be too clever with an opportunity. Instead of, like Ray said, just head it down, give the keeper, you know, a question to ask. He's tried to, like, flick it into the bottom corner and maybe get too much purchase on it, and he's messed his lines up, really. So, yeah, he gets himself into some great positions. And yeah, maybe his goal tally should be slightly better, but I don't want to knock.
You can't knock that too much.
I don't want to knock it at all.
You
can't knock it too much.
Can you imagine saying to strikers, you've got a 60% ratio and it's not quite
good
enough?
I mean, I don't know him personally, but I bet you he's fuming with himself. He seems the type, I know he's got the winner, but I bet you he's come off and been annoyed
with
himself.
Feels it could have been more, yeah.
Yeah, he's like that.
Other standouts, Ryan Gravenberg, I think, was outstanding once again. I think Adam Wharton in that first half would not want to see him again, because
there was a talk before the game about Wharton not playing. He had an injury issue, and it looked like it, because if you looked at his body language, and he'd done exceptionally well since he's gone to Crystal Palace, and everyone's been raving, got into the England setup, but watching him today, he just looked like, and if you look at his facially, he always looked down, he was looking around, everything looked like it was hard work from today, and that's not like him normally. He's not that type of individual, that type of player. He can get around the pitch, but today he just had nothing in his legs to get him around there. But that also because they were outnumbered. There was 3v2 in there. Lerma was in there with him, and Liverpool had three, and they were, as I said, them three were I thought were dynamite in the first half, the three Liverpool central midfielders, the way they were moving and then getting it out wide and creating opportunities that way. When they played with that level and that level of fitness, I thought all the Liverpool players in that first half, fitness-wise, off the charts. You know, I've not seen them like that last season, this season. Yeah. They just look super fit to be watching.
Yeah, I was really impressed with his first half performance. I think we spoke about him at the top of the show, didn't we?
And yeah,
said how
we did.
Dynamic he is with the ball. But it's such an asset to have someone like him who is as fit as him, who can get around the midfield without the ball, because he's putting pressure on players all the time. And, you know, the way they press, they don't give up on it. It's not like they pass men on. If they go, they go, and someone else will slot in and they all interchange. And this midfield, I know Curtis has come in today, but this midfield, you know, we're looking at Szoboszlai, Gravenberch and McAllister being the three that he's called upon. They're really complementing each other with different... We've all got different skill sets, but they're all complementing each other. And Gravenberch is getting round that midfield. He's so dynamic.
It's interesting what you say about his work off the ball, because that's one thing the boss has said in the past couple of weeks, that people aren't seeing what he's doing off the ball. They're just talking
about
what he does
off the ball.
Big claim.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a big fan of Jordan Henderson, and I just think, you know, he goes under the radar sometimes of the work that he does do, because it goes unnoticed because it's defensive work. People like to see players on the ball, creating stuff, 60-yard passes, doing all this. Jordan had that in his locker, but the amount of times and the ground he used to cover for Trent, getting back into position, covering, winning, toting the ball away, winning tackles, breaking things up, just being around players, setting the press off. You know, you need someone like that. And I've gone on record plenty of times saying, I don't think Liverpool would have won the league without Jordan Henderson the year they won it. I really don't, without them performances. You need someone to do that kind of work. But it really didn't go unnoticed, certainly by the ex-players, because we know how hard that is, isn't it?
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that you can get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection too. You can also shop the latest additions across LFC label fashion for men, women and kids too. Shop them today at official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to you. A narrow 1-0 win at Palace keeps the Reds top of the league this afternoon, and Arne Slot's been giving his reaction to LFC TV.
Arne, well done. How satisfying a win was that? Because it got a little bit more stressful perhaps than you were hoping in the closing stages.
Yeah, also then was necessary, because I think we controlled the whole game till the 10-15 minutes where Crystal Palace threatened us a few times. We had more than enough chances to score the second one. I like this performance much more than I liked the Wolves performance or the Ipswich performance. I think we really controlled the game, created enough chances, didn't concede anything at all, a lot of ball possession. But yeah, if you don't score the second one, there will always come a difficult spell in the game, and that happened, but we were there to make sure they didn't score.
You've been in such control, relatively speaking. What changed from past? Was it that aggression they put into the game and the changes they made in terms of personnel?
Yeah, I think they brought in a long and tall striker, so they went a bit more for the long ball, second ball, got a few corner kicks, got a few, in my opinion, easy free kicks from the referee. And that helps to get momentum for Palace. And then they got one or two chances of that. And yeah, then the fans go behind it. But the last 10 to 15 minutes were strong from us again. I think also the players that came in did a really good job by getting the control back in the game. And in the end, we should have scored much earlier. Diogo first half, Mo second half, Diogo one more time second half. Those are chances. If you have so much control, if you score that one, then you just go probably to 0-3, 0-4. But now we had to keep fighting, and that's what we did. So that's also pleasing to see.
The disappointment today, I guess, is the injury to Ali. How is he? But also, what did you make of Vítězslav Jaroš when he came on, thrown into a pressurised environment like that?
Yeah. I emphasised many times on the fact how good our squad is. So not only the first 11, but also the ones that are not playing. Now, we've seen it already with so many players, also today with Cody Kostas and Curtis coming in. But we also saw it with Cuif. Now even our third goalkeeper makes an impact like this. So that's very pleasing to see, but I would have preferred not to see fit today, because then Ali would have stayed fit, because you also saw before Ali went off how important he is for us. So it's a disappointing for him, but also for us that he's injured. And yeah, I don't think he will be able to play the Chelsea game, but hopefully soon after he will be back with us.
Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the boss's thoughts there. Looks like no Alisson for the Chelsea. Well, I imagine the Alisson news obviously takes the shine off it, as we said really earlier on in the show, but probably not for Chelsea.
He obviously knows more than us. We highlighted it before, didn't we? Usually players' reaction. You tend to see how much damage has been done, and he wasn't happy at all, was he? Smacking the ground, come off, throwing his shin pads. It's one of them. It looked like a thigh, didn't it? It's one of them. You kind of did you think?
I thought it was his hamstring.
Well, that's what he had last time.
From just a hamstring, hasn't he?
Looked when he was on the floor. He hit his
shoulder.
Yeah, he was holding the back of
his
right leg. Yeah, that's what I noticed watching it.
Maybe it is.
We're still unsure at the moment. I'm sure we'll know in some time what's going on. I actually thought he really enjoyed the way they played today, particularly in the first half. And he said much better than when we played against Wolves and the other teams that he mentioned as well. So I think that was a positive. And the fact that Palace changed their tactics and brought Mateta on and went more direct, getting a lot of longer balls up there, they coped in the end with it. They've come away with a 1-0 victory. So that's pleasing. There's another aspect of the game that he would have looked at as a manager and went, right, I've not seen that from a team, because we've not been asked that question in the other games that we've played. We've been asked today, and we've done all right with it. I thought Canati done really well today. I think he's really grown in the last few matches that I've seen him.
The other thing as well, I mentioned it before, if you've got aspirations of winning the title, which, this is Liverpool, he will. I know it's his first season and he's navigating his way and he's learning, he's on the job learning. He'll still have, in the back of his mind, we're Liverpool and we'll be challenging, and he'll want to be. So winning games like this, like Gary said, you don't want to drop points, and it could have been easy to drop points. And the worst thing about it is if you drop points in a game going into an international break, you lose all your players tomorrow and you don't get them back for 2 weeks.
It's a long
time. And he'll be festering on it, and he'll want to get them back, and he'll want to be highlighting stuff in the video analysis, and you don't have them there. So that would have played on his mind. So, and plus as well, Man City and Arsenal, you'd expect them to win today.
They've got winnable games, haven't
winnable
they?
Games. So it was a big 3 points today.
OK, let's see what our fans think. Our new feature on post-match. We've got our fans panel here. Guests of honour this week, Gareth Roberts, Ryan Payton and Kim Altov, the chair of the official Liverpool Supporters Club in the Netherlands. Welcome along, guys.
Hello.
Gareth, I'm going to start with yourself and get your thoughts on Arne Slot, because what a phenomenal start it has been. And as fans, you must feel like the club is in incredibly safe hands with him now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 9 wins out of 10. It's 6 clean sheets. And you can't really ask for more than that. We're top of the league. We're top of the league by 4 points as things stand. But as the lads have just said there, more than likely that the gap will be closed at the end of the day. But yeah, I'm more than happy. I've said on our podcast that, in the summer, I thought, well, what's a realistic aim for Liverpool? Maybe top four, because it's a huge ask. There's a huge ask when a figure like Jurgen Klopp leaves the club and a totally new manager comes in. But the transition so far, so good, has been incredibly smooth. And now all of a sudden, us and everyone else is saying, well, actually, are Liverpool contenders for the title? And why not? Because, I know Arne's playing that down, and that's clever in itself. I think he's a manager who clearly doesn't want to create headlines and is aware of that. But I'm delighted with how it's gone. I'm delighted with today as well. Okay, there's a bit of a sore point in terms of the goalkeeper, but, this was a 12:30 after we played in the Champions League, a slot we've traditionally, struggled with at times. So to come away with 3 points, to see Liverpool at the top of the league, it doesn't really get much better than that.
Ryan, I'll bring in yourself, because Gareth's there daring to dream about a potential title. But, as fans, we enjoy looking at the table and how it looks at the moment. In the dressing room, they won't be thinking too much about that side of the things at the moment. But do you dare to dream as well? Do you think it could be the most incredible first season for Arne Slot?
Well, I just think the fact that we're having, a realistic conversation about that is just a sign of how well Slot has adapted. Because, I mean, I'm normally a sort of a pessimistic Liverpool fan, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself and start saying, it's our year, I'm not going to do that. But I just think this has been a real one of the most challenges. I was a bit concerned after the international break to see how Slot was going to fare in terms of, you know, adapting to the run of games with the quick turnaround. He's obviously a coach who values his time on the training pitch. But I think as Gareth said, you know, we played Bologna on Wednesday. We had the 12:30 kickoff, and I think the way he is sort of shuffling his pack and the way he is rotating the squad, it's just it's so impressive. It's hard to not be, you know, everything how he carries himself, how he's managed to sort of stamp a style of play onto the team immediately. You know, that's a difficult ask, and the fact that he has done that, it does make it a dream, because he's so impressive and how he carries himself. You couldn't have asked for sort of, it was, whilst obviously Klopp left an amazing squad to inherit, it's obviously taken over from such a huge figurehead like Jürgen is a difficult job, and the way he stepped into his shoes, you know, you couldn't have asked for anyone to do it better. So it does mean we can, you know, we can talk about where Liverpool will be at in May, and you're not getting laughed at, which is amazing in itself.
Kim, I want to ask you, obviously you're over in the Netherlands, a Dutch manager taking the reins at Liverpool must have been an absolute dream for you when it happened, but in terms of how well he's done so far, did you always think that it would go quite as well as it has?
In all honesty, I didn't know what to expect, because you can't compare the Dutch league to the Premier League. But I am so thrilled that he's done what he's done so far, and that he's adapted so quickly. I'm very, very happy as well that his English is so good, because I was a bit afraid that he was going to be another Ten Hag in the Premier League. But in his communication with the press and with the fans and with the players, he's doing extremely well. And I think, especially in his communication with the players, you can see that on the pitch, because they understand the way he wants to play. They understand his game. And yeah, I'm just so proud that he's adapted so quick and that he's taken us where he is now.
Gareth, it's been, what is it, the seventh league game today? Yeah. Seventh. He's been very consistent with his team selection. Were you surprised today that he's gone and made a few changes?
I thought it would need some changes because, you know, as we've already said, the 12:30 after you've played in the week's a big ask to ask them to go again. And as you say, with the consistency of the lineups and the minutes they've got in the legs already, I did think he would make some changes. I was surprised it was four, if I'm being honest. Mm. And I did worry a little bit about sort of, you know, the rhythm of the side with four changes. But then I thought we played really, really well off the back of that. You know, there are one. You know, when I'm talking to my mates, there's one or two concerns when you see Tsimikas starting, because, you know, is he a step down from Robertson? Yes, he is. But I thought he played really well today. I thought he was a good attacking force. He puts the ball through for Gakpo. Great ball, leads to the goal, and he was involved in one or two other things as well. So I thought it was really promising, because, you know, by and large so far he's played the best 11, hasn't he? And we know they're good lads. We've been watching a lot of them play football for a long time. But when he starts to rotate it a bit and you're still getting good performances, or at least for 60 minutes today anyway, then again, it bodes really well about the future. And, you know, we had some uncertainties there today. You know, you end up with a third choice goalie in the nets at the end. But then he's made four telling contributions as well. So everything about the squad, the noises that are coming out, the things the players are saying, as I said before, I just think it's an unbelievable start, because a lot of people, me included, when Arne Slot got the job, I was a little bit like, we'll lose this fella. And I was a little bit like was already said there as well. You know, the Dutch league compared to the Premier League, there's a huge difference there. And there's a terrible manager just down the road doing an incredibly bad job at Manchester United. So, you know, when Slot comes here, inevitably there's a little bit of doubt in the back of your mind, particularly following in the footsteps of someone like Jürgen. But, you know, it's absolutely brilliant how it's gone. And to play that well with that many changes today, as I say, that makes me think we can go far in competitions and we can challenge for the title.
The thing is with Slot, what he did, I think, which was absolutely brilliant, he was taken over from a legend, which was Jürgen Klopp.
Of course.
But from day one, the players knew he was the manager, he was in charge. So you have to adapt to the new individual that's come in, and he's got to say the right things to you as players for you to go out there and play for him. Every player that's played for Liverpool from his first game to today showed their qualities. They all want to impress him. And that's the great thing about him as a manager, which has stood out to me. The players, he doesn't have to impress them now. They have to impress the manager, the players. That's what I've seen the difference with him coming in now, taking the league lead, showing them what he wants. And you hear him, I've been behind him, and when he's talking to the players, he's completely in charge. And to come in after someone who's been so successful and to have that impact on the players, I think all the panel would agree, absolutely incredible the job that he's done this early so far.
He's done a fantastic, he has done a fantastic job, but the, you know, there are still some question marks about, you know, if we go back-to-back defeats, how do we bounce back from it? We're not seeing that quality yet. You know, what does he do? Does he panic? Does he make wholesale changes? Mm. Does he stick with his philosophy? Does he stick with the team? And the other thing is, I think he's, and I mentioned it before, he's got to gain the trust of the whole squad. Jürgen, as we've seen, made 6 or 7, 8 changes at times where, it, you know, we were all gobsmacked that he made that many changes for such a big game. But it's complete trust in the squad. And he went, go on, go out there. I think Everton, he made 6 changes in one game and we went, whoa, they ended up winning the game. You know, and it gives a great lift for all the fringe players, but also the club and the supporters. And Jürgen buys the trust.
Look what he's done. Well, I'll give an example of what the trust. Gravenberch, look at how he's changed as an individual, as a player,
yeah,
from what
he
was,
right,
to what he is.
Slot's philosophy. I think he's the kind of player Slot wants in that position. I think he was like you said.
But he's got to still trust him in that position, yeah, to give him the opportunity. And then it's up to the player to make sure that he can actually carry out what the manager wants. And everyone's looked at Ryan so far and been hugely impressed. I'm sure all of you have been impressed, haven't you?
But you can't make the same mistake. Yeah, when I say you learn in the Premier League, you're still learning about all the opposition. Mm. You know, all the tactics of everyone else is, you know, Slot's still learning that job really, and he'll be better for it at the end of the season, no matter where we finish. But Jürgen in his first season, we got to January and we went 12 games, only 2 victories, because he literally picked the same team. Training was so intense, the players just lost momentum. And we lost our way in that first season, and it was a massive learning curve for everyone, Jürgen more than anyone. And I just hope that he finds the trust in his squad where he does rotate the players before it's too late.
I want to ask him, because obviously there's a big Dutch contingent in the Liverpool squad at the moment, and obviously with the manager now as well. So how much are you guys in the Netherlands following the journey this season?
Well, as a sports club, we always follow the journey that we make. But before the season started, with Slot coming in and with the other Dutch players, we had a lot of questions from Dutch media, from Feyenoord fans, from more people get interested in Liverpool. Now there's so many Dutch players, and now Slot has gone over as well. So it's been very interesting to see that journey. It happened when Virgil came, and it happened when Cody came. And now with Slot taking over, it's even bigger, because somehow a manager's position is so much more important than any of the players. So media attention wise and interest from more and more people want to become a member of our fan club, it's increased a lot over the last few years, the weeks.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Ryan, I want to bring you in for the final question, because undoubtedly it does get a bit tougher after this international break. You look at the fixtures just solely in the Premier League. You've got Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton, Villa. They're all at Anfield aside from the Arsenal game. But from what we've seen so far, are you feeling confident about obviously some more challenging fixtures on the horizon?
Yeah, I am obviously a Slot's been sort of keen to remind everyone, despite us doing well, he keeps saying, you know, we only play the bottom half sides, or sides that we've been expected to beat. Obviously, after the international break, it gets a little bit more difficult. But as I allude to it, I think our style of play and how he has managed to establish that immediately, I think that'll fare well against the bigger sides that we are good at. When the sort of how late the game started today, and no, Palace were obviously up for it, but then we immediately managed to wrestle back control. I think that's sort of a key feature in a big game. So can your midfield control the tempo? Can they control dictate how the game is sort of the momentum's moving? So I think that Slot has shown that he's capable of doing that. I think that'll mean that when it does come to these big games, I think Liverpool will step up to the challenge and be able to sort of to show our quality against them. I think when teams are sort of pressing up higher against us, we've obviously got the quality in attack to be able to get in behind them, which certain teams that we played against early on in the season have been playing in a low block, which has been, you know, somewhat of a Liverpool's Achilles heel over recent years. I think just the one negative is the injuries. Hopefully Alisson's is not as bad as it sort of looks, which means if Alisson's not available in those big games, it is going to be quite hard, because obviously we've relied on to make some big saves against Bologna and today. So that the injury is the only negative, but I'm confident that Liverpool will be able to step up to the plate in those big games when they come after the international break.
Listen, it has been an absolute pleasure for all three of you to be on the show. We've got to go because we've got some more reaction coming in from Selhurst Park. So we'll say goodbye to you for now. But enjoy the rest of your Saturdays, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you
very much. We are heading back down to Selhurst Park now because Vítězslav Jaros is with Mark Benstead.
Congratulations, your Liverpool debut in the bag. Talk us through the emotions now the game is done. You've got that appearance to your name.
Not a brilliant feeling, I mean, something you dream of as a kid, and then coming on, obviously it's a bit stressful coming on as a keeper, especially in the game like this when it was up and down towards the end, but managed to keep the clean sheet and managed to get the 3 points, so brilliant.
What did the manager and the coaching staff say to you as you prepared to come on? You see Ali can't continue.
Not much really, and I think it's better because your head's racing already and then everyone around you is going, oh, there's your shirt, put your shin pads on and all this, so they didn't say much, and I think it's better.
How tricky is it though, because you've not really had a warm-up. I saw you were still doing your stretches when you're taking your place in goal. They've got a set piece, I think, when you first came in. How do you sort of get yourself into that mindset to deal with what's coming?
I mean, you somehow have to find that concentration and get straight in. And I think probably because they had a set piece straight away and they were on top of us a little bit for the first 5 minutes, it helped me get in the game a bit quicker.
I think the big moment probably was when Eze had the ball coming in from that left-hand side. Were you just kind of expecting him to try and bend it behind you because you've got such good quality?
Yeah, probably I was expecting him to go anywhere but down the middle, yeah. But he ended up mishitting it and hitting me, so fortunate enough.
Clean sheet to your name as well then. Just talk us through that pride then at having achieved that and your journey to get this opportunity today.
I mean, as everyone else in the team, we all work hard on a daily basis. So, I mean, for me personally, it's a great reward to come on and be able to get my debut.
Just in terms of the reaction, have you had a chance to check your phone and see friends and family, see how many messages have popped in just to congratulate you on that debut?
Yeah, loads of messages, but I've not read it yet. I just seen my phone was going off when the gaffer was giving his speech, so.
So, something for the flight home to read through. Just in terms of the next goal, then finally for you, just ready to be, if called upon, moving forward, if Ali can't be featuring or if Queeve's not available, you're ready to pull on the gloves and step in once again?
Yeah, definitely. I went on a few loans in the past, which I think got me ready. I played quite a few games now, so I'm ready. I'm available to play whenever.
Well done today.
Thank you.
Come on.
Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Another 3 points for Liverpool, 1-0 against Crystal Palace this afternoon. Cody Gakpo got the assist for Diogo Jota's winner, and he is with Mark Benstead.
Cody, well done. Does that feel like a really satisfying 3 points, given the team you were playing, how difficult it can be, and also how stressful it got at times in that second half?
Yeah, I think afterwards it's a very good 3 points for us. I think first half, very good game from our side, very controlled, dominating in possession. But I think we should have scored or created some more chances to make it more easy for ourselves, you know. second half they came out of the dressing room very good, I have to say. Real pressure on us, some good chances, but yeah, we did well. We fought together, kept a clean sheet, and I think very important win over here. Yeah.
Just the one goal in the game, but such a well-created goal, well-worked goal. How pleased were you with your involvement in it, and just how effectively you caused problems for that back line of Palace?
Yeah, I think as an attacking player, it's always nice to score or give an assist, so that's, yeah, very pleased with that. I think it was a good ball from Kosti to me, and I saw Jota making a move inside the box and just tried to put it in front of him, and yeah, like I said in the other interview, sharp as always, shots, and he was there, so yeah, very happy with the goal for us, and I think that made it a little bit more easier for us in the first half, but then I think in the second half we should have been maybe a little bit more patient to create even more bigger chances and maybe could score the second one. But after everything, yeah, 1-0 win at this difficult side, so very happy.
You mentioned Diogo was sharp as always.
Yeah.
You know when you play with him that if he's got half a chance, he'll get on the end of a ball. Because he's probably second best against the defenders from where the ball was initially.
Yeah.
And he just has that determination.
Yeah, I think everybody knows... our strikers, I have to say, Darwin as well, when it's this kind of chances, they try always to be there in front of their opponent. So, yeah, we know that from them. And then we just have to try to put the ball in a good position for them to score. And, yeah, very happy that they were there, that he was there today. So, yeah, good goal.
Games like this be good experience as the season goes on. You know, they were physical with you second half, asked a few questions, but you've come through it.
Yeah, I think it's important to go through such moments. I think it's also a little bit of a test for our team, you know, how resistant we are. So, yeah, we did well. We still can improve in a lot of things, but, yeah, very happy that we still, won at the end.
And just finally, in terms of the start you've had to the season, how satisfied are you with the position you've got yourselves in? We're going into the second international break now and just that one blip.
Yeah, obviously now top of the league, but I think... yeah, that's important. Obviously, we are aware of that, but that's not the most important thing at the moment. I think everybody feels in the team that we are growing in the way the Kaffer wants us to play, and I think that's the most important one. We really are believing in ourselves, what we are capable of, and yeah, hopefully it can lead to a lot of wins, and hopefully we're still on top at the end of the season. But for now, it's just staying very calm, keep improving, keep working hard, and we will see it from that point.
Well done today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thoughts of Cody Gakpo there. I mean, it is a good marker, isn't it, Ray, this international break, to sort of really try and take stock. And the boss has probably had this point in his head as to when maybe he can have a little bit of a breather and just assess it.
And his team talk to say, look, lads, you're going away on your break for a couple of weeks. Let's finish with this game with a positive, pick up the 3 points with a good performance. And Cody said there, you know, they're really pleased with the way that they played in the first half. There was things to work on the second that can certainly improve upon. Ultimately, it's another clean sheet. It's another 3 points, and that's where you want to be as a player. As the fans, all enjoyed the game today, I'm sure, the ones at Selhurst Park. They were enjoyed the football that they watched at certain points in the game.
Yeah.
But as a group, it's important to keep winning. Regardless, I was laughing earlier when someone was saying, it's games you're expected to win. Well, you look at 3 points for each game that you play. That's what you're looking at. Yeah, you might have harder, tougher games along the way, but you still have to win the ones that you're playing in. And they've done that today. When they were up against it in the last 20 minutes, they were solid enough. You know, they kept Crystal Palace at bay and limited them to two or three chances.
Yeah, what will he be most pleased about, Jace, briefly? He'll come to the end of the show, but obviously Ryan Gravenberch been a massive success story. Defensively, they've been so solid as well, I think.
There's lots of positives. Listen, it'll be bittersweet today because obviously they get the victory, that's the sweetness. The bitterness is he loses his players and sits there like that for like literally 2 weeks
yeah,
now,
fingers
hoping
crossed.
They all come back injured. But listen, he can't knock what's been put in front of him and where they are sitting top of the table. It's been a good, how long have we been going? 7 games?
Mm-hmm.
It's been brilliant.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We will be back, though, of course we will, after the international break when Liverpool take on Chelsea with analysis and exclusive interviews from Anfield. Until then, though, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.